Welcome, welcome to the Break and Change Podcast, Season 4, Episode 9. Today, we're going to talk about authenticity. Sigh of relief.
I don't know. This has been like a high emotional week, if I'm being real.
Tell me about
it. It's been crazy. What's up, that full moon last weekend? And then, I don't know. It's like wild. I think because I personally went through something crazy this week, you know, that kind of, you kind of ride that. This human experience is like just about feeling, right? So even like no matter what happens in our life, no matter where you are, it's like I'm riding that feeling of what I'm feeling. And so that's me being real and authentic right now. But what is being authentic?
What is it?
I think just showing up as you are. And that can mean a lot of things, right? That can mean just being like coming out, like, let me be like whatever all the time. And that can mean adapting and switching it up wherever you go. But I think authenticity to me means living in truth.
How can you live in truth?
Live in truth with your knowingness, right? So like it's safe to say that like most people know me as like me. I'm not going to switch it up too much.
Like, what do you mean know you?
What you see here is kind of what you get. Huh?
What do you mean know you as you?
Like I'm me. Like I try to be as honest about who I am everywhere I go. And I know that there's certain places where you're supposed to act a certain way, do certain things, behave a certain way. And I agree. There's a time and place for things sometimes. There's also this element that's kind of coming crashing down right now in this era of whatever we're going through energetically, mm-hmm. Where a lot of those walls are crumbling, where we think there's a certain prestige about certain people and places when it's not real. It's actually not real. None of it's real. It's all crumbling, right? Mm-hmm. Like elite people and their balls and their masquerades and their award shows. None of it's real. So I think what we're realizing more and more that's all a show. And we need to, there's nowhere to go to like finally become someone. Like your real self, who you are now, is what you should carry with truth.
But how do you do that?
You tell me. I don't know.
I think there's really only one way.
What's that?
And that's to be present.
To feel that. I think that's what I'm talking about.
Because I give you an example. Even with like, you know, we always talk about the power of relationships and like how that's necessary part, but also tells us where we're at in our life. I think that when you're communicating with somebody, you can either come from a place of how you always acted before. Mm-hmm. And so therefore you're strategizing, like, what am I about to say? How am I about to set this up so that I get what I want? That is just part of kind of like ego nature. But what I've learned is I really go into every conversation, since I've gone into every conversation really with no expectation and just being as open as I possibly can be, where I don't know what's going to be said. I don't know anything. I always feel like naturally my most authentic self shows up, because there was no strategy that I was trying to push or get across.
I like what you're saying. And I can see big time when you've reached a state. And as I say, there's nowhere to go, right? Like there's nowhere to finally be. But when you've reached a state in your healing journey, and that simply means to me that you're able to really be aware of yourself. Like you can actually see yourself and take accountability, even when you do mess up, because you still will mess up, and you could be like, okay, I'm watching myself and I'm aware. If you're not there yet, you're not going in. I think that's like the second stage of spiritual awakening. Having a dialogue first, because in reality, how we're showing up first is what we're programmed to show up.
Agreed.
So before you can even have that conversation that you're talking about, that like, okay, I'm trying to think about how to make this go, and two things are happening. There could be like that anxiety, that story in your head, but usually that story is from conditioning of what you're told will happen all the time. Right? Are you with me? Like, so if you're going into a situation,
you're thinking about all the potential outcomes.
Yeah, you're programmed to think, not all the potential outcomes. Many times it's like worst. It's out of fear. So if I don't behave this type of way around these type of people, the worst thing will happen. So I can't really let my insides out. I can't be seen. I need to like blend in, because if I stand out, if I'm really me, repercussions will happen.
I hear you, but you said there's a step in front of mine. I think from an ego perspective, that is similar to the first step, because once you acknowledge that you are going to every conversation with a specific outcome or expectation of a specific outcome, then you realize that you're adjusting your words and your persuasions to the outcome of what you wanted, instead of actually leaving the conversation to infinite possibilities and being fully present to listen to the other person, and then actually naturally make whatever moves that you needed to make that automatically show up, that it wasn't structured or strategized to do that.
I think we're having a couple conversations here at once in our crazy brains. So you're saying showing up to a conversation and what you want to have.
Well, I was using the conversation.
Thinking of like authenticity of showing up anywhere. But if you want to take it like to a conversation and think about, oh, what you want to happen, right? Because a lot of times we don't show up anywhere. Like we don't show up in classes like I want this to happen, or we don't show up at work as like I'm trying to manipulate this. We're just showing up as what we're thought we're supposed to show up as, right? And so this could happen in conversations too. But if we have the conversation you're having, like in a conversation where it comes to manipulation and expecting outcomes,
yeah,
then I think that is a different conversation, right? Like if I want this outcome, then first we have to talk about when you do that planning. When do you actually plan for your outcome? It's not when you sit down, because you've already brought that person to you because of a reason.
I'll give you an example, and this is for what I mean by authenticity. You're often swayed by multiple things in conversations, right? Like maybe you're swayed by connecting with somebody and getting a friend, or you're swayed by maybe finding a business partner, or getting a specific outcome that you want, right? Authenticity is like pretty much, to me, sitting across from somebody who can tell them, who can literally say what their intentions are, what's important to them in their life right now. And you can sit across fully confident and say, you know, I completely understand what you're saying, but that's not me right now. But there's a lot of different variables that could sway you towards trying to be like, you know what? Actually, I could see myself doing that. You know, I will do that. That's what I'm saying, is being able to really, I think authenticity comes down to being able to hold your point of view regardless of how many people outside of you don't see it your way.
How do you stay open and remain in your point of view? How do you shift your perspective and be open to learning new things and understanding that, like, oh, there's a whole nother world out there that you may need to step into?
100%.
or want to step into.
I think it's actually, there's three words. I don't know. Ever since I brought those three words into my life, I've been kind of just more open to what life has to offer me to help me expand. So like, for instance, I have a strong point of view, let's say, on whatever, religion, right? But if I'm not identifying any longer with like that I have to be labeled this religion, and yet, because I can say behind it, I really like to follow this, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Then I'm always open to more information, knowledge, wisdom, and experience coming in. It gives me that freedom to experiment without feeling locked in a box of a label.
Yeah. It's funny because like when I think of authenticity, when a lot of people think about this authenticity, it's like somebody being like a standout from the crowd, outrageous, and just like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but I actually look at you. I'm like, I think your most authentic self is like wearing the same shirt, the same pants, the same sweater, not caring what anybody thinks. It's actually the least crazy thing in the world. But that's like your real you. Like, you don't want to go all out and dress in these. Like, no. You're the most comfortable just like wearing the same black shit every single day. That's your real you. And so I think that is such a beautiful kind of, when you look at the spectrums, some people truly want to wear feathers and wear colors, bright colors. They love rainbows. They love their hair colored. It's just fun for them to be seen.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's their real them. They feel really cool doing that. Some people do both of those because they feel like they have to.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Some people might wear a uniform because, like, if I don't show up in my if I don't show up in my suit, then I don't feel like people will respect me where I work.
Well, I don't feel as confident or whatever. Yeah.
If I don't, or some people that wear all the bright colors, like, if I don't wear these bright colors, nobody will see me. Yeah. Even though I don't wanna.
And I need to be seen.
Yeah, I don't wanna dye my hair again, but I need to be seen. Right? So, like, your most authentic self doesn't look like anybody else's.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like fitting in the box with everyone around you. But like I said before, sometimes being your authentic self means adapting and like going to the job you love and wearing the uniform you have to wear because you love the job.
Of course.
Not because somebody's forcing you to work there or your mom and dad are not making you think you need to be doing that job.
Of course.
Right? It's authentically wanting to be a personal trainer instead of a doctor and showing up in your training uniform.
Yeah.
Right? And it's cool when you brought up the, because this has been my heavy week about authority. Even when you look at religion, you look at who you think authority is. And at the end of the day, your authority is God.
Yeah.
Right? It's not this person who says Christianity is the holder of all wisdom. It's not this person to say Buddhism is the, it's God. And I think that I don't knowness allows answers to flow into you and being open, but also remaining connected to trying to find more truth.
Of course.
Right? It's not just like being empty.
It's almost like as you allow more spaciousness to not need to identify for you to feel fulfilled. Because in reality, an identification really is just a grasping. It's a nonstop holding on to something that you think you need to hold on to in order to feel whole. But in reality, you feel empty. So I feel like the more spacious you are, the more you're willing to go down the road of questioning what is truth.
And that's the big one. That questioning, I'm so glad it circled to here. Because when you question how real you're being, you have to question how real everybody else is being.
Of course.
Because it starts here first. Like, how real am I being with myself and my gut? When I took my first child to go get his injections when he was just wee born, just like barely know how to suck a boob, right? They're already injecting him. My gut was like, no, don't do that, right? Like, it was like, something feels off. I think we had a conversation. Like, are we gonna do this? Like, I guess it's what we're supposed to do. Are we being authentic with ourselves? Why did we think that was what we were supposed to do? Because it's what we were told by an authority that we were told was greater than us, yeah. Doctors. And we're so afraid to ask questions to ourselves first, right? Is this in alignment with me? Does this feel good in my body? And then if you're afraid to ask questions here in your heart, you dare not ask questions outside of you.
Of course.
Right. So this week, when I finally questioned, 5 years later, I questioned a doctor. Like, my authentic self ain't afraid of no one. So why then did I feel all these feelings in my body and I was nervous and I had like moths in my stomach and I went there and he made me cry? Why?
You're saying, why did you cry?
Yeah.
Even 5 years later.
And I'm like, I know this is not the truth. I know this is not my authentic self being afraid of a doctor in a white coat telling me what I need to do to keep my baby healthy, even though I don't listen to anything you say.
That's a great question. So how have you broken that question down into, if you break that question down into components, is it the rejection that you were, you know, outcasted from his practice? Was it the fact that you needed him regardless to agree with you or not agree with you? Did you need approval from him in order to feel like you got your point across, but yet he never gave you that approval? Not, I agree with you, Chastity. So if you start to ask all of the questions surrounding why you could have felt a certain way, what could be some of the possibilities if you were being 100% honest with yourself?
I think a big part of it is it's a muscle that needs to be flexed.
Agreed.
Like, I think that when you're not used to questioning people who you look at to as authority, it's scary because it's the unknown.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you're going to be given answers that you've never heard.
But you actually knew somewhat the known. You knew that if you don't sign this paper, you're out of the practice.
Right.
You still had the courage to speak to the doctor about it. You could have just walked away and
it took me 5 years to get courage,
but
to really, really have the conversation.
So you already kind of known the known to some degree. Yeah, it's still unknown. You don't know, but you had already known that, hey, if I don't sign this, I'm probably out of the practice. Why do you think that even after knowing the potential outcome, that outcome happened, you still felt the way you did?
That's a good question. And I think a lot of it is, first of all, I think we are, yes, a lot, yes to a lot of that. Afraid to be rejected, afraid to be outcasted, afraid to not rely on something that we thought was real at one point. Mm. It's like finally letting go. It's like that last finger slip grip, like, you got me. Ah, you really don't got me. It's like Scar letting Mufasa fall, right?
Did he?
It's like, but did he, that's really what's happening.
Did he ever have you?
No, right. That's, it's like Scar letting Mufasa fall. Like, he was not trying to save his life. And he was like, goodbye. Like, it wasn't real.
But what wasn't real? Even the underlying services weren't really real.
It's not real. The relationship is not real. Yeah. When we pay insurance, first of all, think about insurance. You're continuously pouring money into a thing in case you get injured, but then they make you spend that money on these doctors for wellness.
Then you have a copay.
For wellness.
Then you have a deductible.
So you're going into these well visits. So these doctors get paid when you're well. What do they do to you when you're there, when you're well? When you take your healthy baby into the doctor, what do?
Vaccines?
They vaccinate them. They give them inoculations. They put poisons and toxins into their body when they're healthy, perfect, and whole. You take them in, they make them sick. You come out, you got to go back again, whether you want to or not, for that next well visit, because they will have side effects no matter what. So when I asked this doctor for the list of side effects, what did he say to me?
Death.
Well, first, no, Did he say death? He said death? I said death. He said he gave them to me. I was like, no, he didn't. Yeah. Then he was like, what am I going to do? Walk in with a stack of papers? I think Tyler's going to upload this for us so that like people could hear it. Going to upload it to our page. He's like, what am I going to do? Walk in with a stack of papers every time I want you to sign something? Hell yeah. If that's what you want me to agree to, you want me to agree to me maybe having all of these side effects happen to my child, but you will not agree to take responsibility if they do happen. This is on camera. This is recorded. Like, he literally said.
I don't think the viewers understand. I don't know if we've connected the dots for them about the doctor experience. Pretty much, we just got kicked out of.
I'm going to upload the video.
Yeah, we just got kicked out of our
family doctor.
Family doctor's practice because we wouldn't sign an agreement
stating about first
the safety of vaccination.
Stating first, the agreement says my doctor has had a conversation with me and answered all my questions about these medications.
Yeah.
And has shown me all the things that could happen and has given me full consent, informed consent. I was like, that didn't happen. And so the conversation was around that. And then it was like, I agree that if anything, if like my child comes into the hospital, I inform all healthcare workers about what inoculations they have had, because they could then take my child if they need to, isolate them and give them medical care that may not have been necessary if they had been inoculated.
Yeah.
Like, if you really like skirt, back it up. I'm basically giving my rights over of my child if I sign that paper, saying you could take my child from me if I have an emergency because I didn't vaccinate my children. And now you don't know what's going to happen and they could be putting others at risk. And it says, I also agree that my children are putting others at risk. I don't agree. And so I said to him, I was like, why would I sign this? So I think me living in my authentic self knew. Crazy Chastity over here. I had to go back to that doctor and be like, yo, we got to have a conversation before like I even leave. I just need to know where your mind and heart is. And what I got from the conversation was he basically partnered with Atlantic Healthcare. He partnered with a great big medical corporation and they're forcing him to now force patients to sign these because doctors get bonuses if they meet their quotas of giving each child in people a certain amount of shots. This yeah. is facts. This is just facts.
And so, but it's just a necessary thing that allows the world to move on is that there's multiple perspectives, right? Your perspective and my perspective is way different than the doctor's perspective.
And he said that. He's like, I won't answer your questions because we have different viewpoints.
But no, but my point is, but my point is like, we don't even benefit though from being somewhat of a martyr versus the doctor. Instead, we would be better off sharing our experiences
right.
with other people who resonate with that message and who then most likely would also be able to see through some of the illusion of our healthcare system.
I think that's really what it is. And I think that's my calling here. It's like, I know it might seem like, oh, I'm just out there and I'm just posting all this stuff and I need to prove a point. I really don't need to prove a point. You know me deep enough to be like, I could just go find a doctor. I really did not need to go back once they threatened to kick me out. What I wanted to do for the people that are afraid, because I knew how scary it was. It took me 5 years to build that courage, even though I already made the decision 5 years ago. It took me that much time and space, and whew, I got this, to walk in and really, really question them.
Yeah.
Most people won't do that.
That's massive growth.
Most people won't do that, and that's okay. Nobody has to do it. But I was like, I'm in the position where I can. I got time today.
Yeah,
I got time. I'm going to go in and ask some questions. And that is for everybody else who in their gut is like, I want to ask these questions, but why is it so hard? And I'm showing you why it's so hard, because you're going to get answers that don't make no damn sense. And you're going to walk out feeling crazy.
Yeah.
You're going to walk out feeling crazy.
But it's not also hard because it's just your conditioning.
Yeah.
Of taking what we, what appears to be an authoritative figure.
Yeah.
We normally, for our childhood, took their advice fully. Our parents did, right? Whenever we went to the doctor said, you need to do this, you need to take that, da, 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 da. Here's the prescription. We naturally took it and thought the doctor was like saving us and giving us, you know, all this medicine to make us feel better. Like, but also at the same time, amoxicillin or Z-Pak or cortisone creams or prednisone. In reality, many of those things, I'm not saying that they don't have short-term relief as Band-Aids for people during a time. But what I'm saying is they never led to longer-term solutions, the root cause of why we're inflamed, why we have digestive issues. It was a prescription. So it was pretty much like, wow, this person's situation lines up with these symptoms in this book, and this is the remedy for mm-hmm. it, this pill. Mm-hmm. And not like, wow, let's see, Chris, let's see what's going on with your system. So we have been conditioned since the beginning of time to listen to all authority. You can even say police officers.
Yeah.
You can talk about your politicians. You can talk about
parents.
Yeah, parents, everything.
You don't question your parents. You don't question when you're sitting in church. And this is why a lot of people are afraid of their spirituality growth and to dive deeper. When you're sitting in church, they're telling you, don't ask questions. You follow these words. These are the rules. You listen to what we say. Don't ask. And you're afraid to even ask questions in church.
Yeah.
This is why people then like leave the church and like, woo, I'm going on this, you know, like this trip now. I'm going tripping now because I have so many questions and I need to be free. When there's a balance to it all. And that starts with asking questions.
What do you think is the one most powerful way for somebody to step into their authenticity, or at least the discovery of, because it's a process, right?
Yeah.
But what do you think is the most important for somebody to step in that space to be able to do that?
The most, I think, like we've just been kind of reiterating, like asking a question that, like, what is not doing the math right now? What is not mathing for you? Hmm. What's not making sense?
But what, so
ask the question that you're afraid to ask. And if there is no question, if you feel like you just are agreeable with everything and you just taking it in,
yeah,
I don't think you're being authentic. I don't think you're really, I think you're scared.
So for me, I think the number one thing somebody can do to really step into their authenticity is to understand that there is absolutely nobody else in this world that has ever been or will ever be like you. And that every single one of us is on our own unique journey, completely, completely unique. So when somebody looks like they're balling and killing it, and you're like, why am I not there? I should be there. You can't compare. When somebody's like down and out and you're doing well, you don't need to compare because you have no idea where they're at on their journey. You have no idea what lessons they're here to learn. You cannot possibly compare your life to anybody else.
It's so amazing you say that, because I am thinking right now, like what's going on in my head is like all the drrr. I'm going to say this while I haven't made $1 million yet in total. At one time. I'm going to say it right now.
Up until now.
I have met people who have. And they ain't happy.
Yeah.
Like, I have met millionaires. I have spent time with people that ball. I have spent time. it does not equal happiness. So when we say money does not equal happiness, it is a fact. And I know that for a fact because I've seen it and I've witnessed it. And I say that about, you know, like the money doesn't equal happiness is because I feel like sometimes we step out of our authentic selves trying to be someone we're not because we think it'll get us something we don't have.
Yeah.
And I will say the people that are successful, that are happy and have a lot of money, those people that I've met, what they did to get there can't be duplicated.
Of course.
Because they recognize that it was just them being authentic, them doing what they love, them living out their purpose, them living out their mission, them being deeply satisfied with what God has given them, and them sharing that.
Of course.
That gift. And I think that's where true authenticity gets you. It gets you true success.
So there's a quote that I think about, you know, all the time, and it's, you are the way, right? So every single individual actually is the way. Mm-hmm. Trying to copy somebody else's way is not the way, but you are the way. And it's something that I use whenever you start to like float over, like, man, I'm here and this is where I want to be, et cetera, et cetera. You're kind of like this, you kind of get quickly grounded real quick when you're just like, there actually is like, there's no other person walking this path. And this path was created just for me, just like everybody else. So I think the more we acknowledge and don't have comparisons against anybody else, the easier it is to really slide into your most authentic self, because nobody can ever know you more than you can know yourself.
So then the opposite end of comparing, right? Because yes. Comparing is thinking, oh, I don't have that yet and I want that.
Correct.
Right? The other end of that is judging.
Correct.
So comparison and judging are like death to success. Right?
It's like the same coin.
Yes, it's two heads of the same coin. Because then when you're judging where somebody else is at or what somebody else is doing or what they need to be doing, that's taking all of your attention off of what you're doing.
Correct.
What you need to be, where you're going. And that is going to basically destroy anything that you're aiming towards, because your focus, you shifted focus. If your aim is there and your focus here, you're not going to get there. If your aim is here on what you think you want and you don't have, you're not going to get there. So it's like, to be your fully authentic self, you just have to ask more questions about, first of all, what you want, right? Where are you going? Who do you want to be around? What feels good to you? That's authenticity. And that looks crazy. Like some set of my friends look very different from another set of my friends, but I don't love any of them any less.
Of course.
Right? It's like, and the reason why my friends are my friends is because they're them. They're just them. There's no like explanation. Like, I'd be like, I love this person because they do this. I love this person because they're just them.
But do you feel that anyone is fully authentic? Fully authentic. And what does that look like to you?
I think we talked about this before, where sometimes even if you're a great actor in this life, that might be your authentic self. Like, you just playing a role wherever you go. That's him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I can think of a few people in my life who I'd be like, yeah, that's like, they're definitely just them. And is most of the time, they're not on a spiritual journey.
They're not on a spiritual journey.
Like your dad. Yeah. He's authentic. He's just gonna be him wherever he goes, and that's made me love him, like, for who he is. Like, he's just him. You can't be mad when you just accept somebody for as they are.
Yeah, yeah.
And it helps you accept yourself a little more, because you're like, damn, I might be ways that people don't necessarily like. That's all right. I love me.
That's it. Agreed.
Yeah.
So you think there are some people, but you don't think.
It's all an undoing, right? It's all an undoing. So I feel like even if you are going on this spiritual journey, you're like, how can I be more authentic?
Yeah.
I'm going to start being more authentic. Are you? Are you? You sure about that?
Are you more authentic?
Sure about that. Because, like, can you try to be more authentic?
No.
No.
But that's my point about the present moment is the only time that you can be authentic because you're not thinking.
Yeah. Authenticity is literally the art of not trying.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't need to strategize. It's only being.
It's being. So authenticity is just the state of being where you're at. Like you could ask me, like, I did my hair, I did my makeup, I came here, I'm sitting at a table with a microphone talking to you with a pre-planned conversation. Is this authentic?
I think our answers are authentic.
Yeah, our conversations. Yeah, the conversations. We're being authentic. Is it an authentic conversation? We're sitting, what's your goal out of this? Like, honestly, our goal is to share our conversation. I think it's pretty authentic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like what we wanted out of.
And I think it's also allowing us to learn each other more too, because we don't know what we're gonna say.
Yeah.
You don't know what I'm gonna say. I don't know what you're gonna say. You don't know the questions. We don't know anything, and we're really pulling from our hearts in this moment. Like, all right, this is what I feel about it.
Our conversations don't look much different.
Yeah, yeah.
Than they do on here. Fortunately, unfortunately, if you've watched some of our past episodes. But yeah, it's scary sometimes. Like being in that moment, like you said, like, I think that's what authenticity sometimes is, just like relaxing into this present moment.
Yeah, there's nowhere or no one to be.
You don't feel like this tension of I have to show up as a certain way. Yeah. Like, here I am.
Yeah.
Hope you didn't expect much. This is me. Surprise. But it could be scary because if you feel that story in your head, you feel like you were supposed to show up as somebody else and you were supposed to have all this stuff and all this planned. And that story can keep playing out. And then you could walk away from this and you're like, oh, I should have. I could have. I would have. So it's scary. Just being you sometimes, because then you have those stories of what other people think. And that's where the work comes in, dropping those stories.
Yeah.
Dropping it all.
And just being in the unknown.
Constantly flowing. Not being afraid of what's to come, what was, and just accepting what is.
Agreed. That's good. That was tight.
I didn't plan that. That's me being my authentic self, sharing.
So
I'm going to ask Tyler to, I don't know, upload that video of the doctor just because I'm really like still on it. I'm kind of off it. I'm getting over it. I'm coming off the high of all the drama is fun. And then you could go run that back and you could see how questioning authority figures will make you step more into yourself because you realize there is no authority but God. Like, that is my authority. I had a couple verses today, but I'm so bad at recalling. I forgot already. But the power is in you. And I think this spiritual journey of undoing helps you see that more and more. And that's when it gets scary. Because, like, now I think the scary part is, like, this is to answer your question for it. Like, when something happens, I can't be like, I gotta ask the doctor. It's like, trust. What do you know? What's all the research you've done? You know, like how to take care of this, how to, then there's a time and place. My kid breaks a leg, my kid's shoulder pops out. Yeah, we're going to the doctor. But for a well visit, for what?
Yeah, yeah.
To tell me my kid's short? He told me to be concerned that Kay dropped back into the to the third percentile in height, I need to be concerned. I'm like, yo, I am 5'2". My husband is 5'6". I do not expect I do not expect my child to be in the 98th percentile for height. Like, what am I being concerned about? Like, it's wild.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I'm like, I thought this was a good topic.
Yeah, yeah, it was good. Thank you guys for rocking and rolling with us. If you liked anything that we had to say, please throw that thumbs up.
Share, comment. Subscribe, share with a friend, share with a loved one. If it resonated with you, thank you so much for listening and being here on this journey with us. Love you.
Love you. Peace.